Amen. Good to see you out today, as we have already said. We have out in the foyer items that are absolutely free, and I want you to take advantage of them. Our Days of Praise are devotional guides that will help you with your devotions, March, April, and May, free. Pick yours up at the Welcome Center. Also, Acts and Facts, it will help you to defend the truth of creation against the lie of evolution. How many of you believe that creation is absolutely, historically, and scientifically accurate? Raise your hands. Amen. Well, you can get more convinced and convicted of that. Pick that up. If you are a first-time guest, raise your hand, and we'd like to give you one of these. And in it is an envelope, a card to fill out. I got envelope on the brain, because we also have our love offering envelopes for Briones. We're paying the rent on their building, their ministry building. And today is the last Sunday for us to be part of the Bible distribution around the world, Beams Bibles, $8 each. So use this opportunity today. You have been so faithful in your giving. I can tell there has been a transformation. We're getting ready for our musicale on what the world calls Easter. It's the 31st of March. We call it Resurrection Sunday. And our boys and girls, I've been singing with them, practicing with them, and they, along with the adult choir, are going to present a great musicale. We're going to pack this place out. Prior to that, we will have on the 24th Palm Sunday with palms. We always have a great time. And then we will likewise have on the 26th our local church observance of the Passover Lord's Supper. Ushers, could we get these distributed, one to every individual, or at least to each family, so that you can see what I'm talking about? If you haven't been part of our discussion in the past, you may have come from a church where they had communion first Sunday of the month, Sunday morning, or maybe once a quarter, or whenever. Sometimes in certain churches they have elements every Sunday. But we observe it for sure the way Jesus did the Tuesday night prior to the Wednesday that he was crucified. And we have charts to prove that. And we are doing that again this year on Tuesday, March the 26th at 7:30 in the evening. Come meet with us. If you need a ride, let us know. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. We use actual prepared from scratch elements, and so it's very authentic, and we don't do anything else. We do talk about the Lord's Supper. We talk about his sacrificial death, and Brother Neil is organizing the men. We'll have rehearsal on Palm Sunday evening for the Tuesday that we have this observance. So I hope that you will plan to be a part of that. Now that's going on, and then something else very, very important in the meantime. And I'd like to just have everybody's undivided attention. And I realize we're online, so I have to be careful with my time. But we have, as our rule of faith and practice, the Bible. Hold your Bible up. Hold it up. Come on. Say with me, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Say, I believe there are no mistakes in it. I believe there are no mistakes in it. And God helping me, I'm going to try to obey it. This is our rule. This is our authority for faith and practice. Now, in order so that people can be organized and orderly, we have something else. It is called the Constitution, Articles of Faith, and Bylaws of Central Baptist Church. These were reconstructed. They were for a time prior to my coming lost or misplaced, but they were based on the same source as that of another church, and we had about a 5 or 6 month period of time in which we reconstructed them exactly, precisely as they were in the past. And we have these, and this, if we had to go into court for any reason, we don't, but if we had to, we'd have to answer on the basis of this and this. Now, if ever these bylaws in any way differ with the Bible or are not clear, we use the Bible for clarity. You understand what I'm saying? So that's it. But we are people of order. And I believe, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let everything be done decently and in order. Let everything be done decently and in order. And so we are following the Constitution and Articles of Faith and Bylaws of Central Baptist Church. Last Sunday morning, last Sunday evening, this past Wednesday evening, and now we are notifying you, and by letter, how many of you got your letter in the mail this week from the church? Middle paragraph, we notified you of our intentions. We're bringing forth action to be taken by the church. Now, here's what it says in the bylaws. It says, any employee of the church that I wish to hire, I have the power to hire them within the parameters of the budget and with the council of the deacons and with the approval of the church. And that can be done with a one announcement calling for the business meeting and a vote to be taken. And it can be done very quickly. It can be done with a simple majority vote. To do other important things require more notification. So we're in that category of more important things, because we announced last Sunday, and we've been talking about it, and if you weren't aware of this going on, it's because you've been living under a rock somewhere. Because for the last 7 years, Brother Tyler Candy has been in our midst and with his family now, and they're looking for baby number three to come. Are you glad? Say amen. Amen. Pray for them. This is the week, maybe. We'll see. And Brother Tyler has been earnestly and intently preparing for the gospel ministry, and it was my joy and privilege to mentor him. He is my protege. He's not the first. He won't be the last, the Lord willing. I have mentored scores and scores of people through the years at various levels, but I have poured more into Brother Tyler than I've ever poured into anybody else. And that I say that without exaggeration. It is a fact. We've spent intense hours in preparation, so much so that he did his undergraduate work, already had a degree in computer, and already was prepared for life, has a job working for another business, has his own side business, and is a missionary to churches in IT and sound and doing all that, and then volunteering around here as part of his training, his internship. We have poured our life and our ministry, and he's not a clone of me, but Brother Tyler knows what I believe. And there's no question that he knows what's to be done, how it is to be done. He's been part of, run everything around here except the money. That's it. So he's done all those things, and we've been into that, and he did his undergraduate work. You should read his dissertation if you haven't. On the family. You should see his postgraduate work and dissertation, which he has completed as well. He has been unanimously set apart, licensed for the ministry, which was preparatory to his ordination, which was recent, and that was unanimous with folks from outside our church and inside our church participating in that process. Deacons, the faithful men, have been working with him close at hand, and we are fully aware of his progress. And so at this point, what I'm bringing to you is, I could say, I want to hire him as associate pastor within the parameters of budget and what is available. And since the deacons set the executive salaries and benefits anyway, as long as it's within the parameters of the budget that's adopted each year by the church, all I would need would be a vote of approval. I could have called the meeting this morning and we could have done it. But we want to do much more than that. We want to do much, far, far more than that. And what we are about to do is being watched very closely by people who would like to do things more. Watch me closely. I'm talking around the country. They would like to do things more like this than some other piece of paper or booklet. Moses had a Joshua, right? Paul had a Timothy, a Titus, a Silas, and others, right? Listen very carefully now. Barnabas took up for John Mark, who had messed up, and got him to the point where Paul said, hey, he's profitable. That's good. And Jesus never left this earth till he had prepared his disciples and those of us by extension in the church to carry on his work. Amen. That's God's plan, God's program. Up close and personal, Brother Tyler has been here through all of the difficulties of COVID. He's been faithful. He is like a right hand. We appreciate him so much. So much so that we'll announce this morning and tonight and Wednesday and next Sunday what I'm about to tell you. Now, last week there was a little bit of very, very sweet from the heart misunderstanding. Mirtha thought I was resigning and that he was becoming pastor in my place. I would like to think she thought maybe I was saying I'm dying or have a terminal illness, but she was crying. And she misunderstood. That is not the case at all. Think of it in this sense. A president, and I'm the president of the assembly. I'm not a dictator, but I am the president of the assembly. That's biblical. A president needs a vice president for a number of reasons. To go on, carry on, to do what needs to be done. And if something happens to the president, the vice president becomes the president. That is correct order. What I have viewed, now, I was subject to a pastoral search committee. So was Pastor Hera. The founding pastor didn't have to go through a pastoral search committee because he founded the church. But we, Brother Hera, weathered it. I weathered it. I have to say it wasn't an unpleasant experience, but I've known of some very unpleasant experiences that could have gone south the wrong way because you get so many personalities under one roof and their job is to find the most qualified person to follow in footsteps. Sometimes they get it right. Sometimes I wonder why they ever get it right. I've seen so many mess ups. I've seen so many churches that have gone away from this right here. And this church, by the grace of God, is never going to depart from this. Say, how is that possible? Well, in accordance with the Constitution and bylaws of Central Baptist Church, a motion is being made, I'll give it to you in a minute, by the unanimous agreement of all seven deacons, 100% on board, that Brother Tyler become the associate pastor, and as designated by vote of the people, which is another matter but part of the action, with wholehearted agreement by this pastor, by Brother Tyler, and by the deacons who are bringing this action, that he officially be called as associate pastor with the understanding that should, in the event of my death, my disability so I can't serve, or my departure, for whatever reason, that he would automatically have a call to become the pastor of this church, and there would be a continuation. Now, if you have any questions, I'm available to answer them. And I would ask for deacons and everyone to do so on that basis. But that is precisely what we are proposing, so that there will never be a pastoral vacancy. Theoretically, if the next pastor trains his successor and it is approved by the church and so on until Jesus comes, there'll never be a pastoral vacancy. To me, pastoral vacancy, because of what I've seen over the course of my life as a third generation Baptist preacher and having advised hundreds and hundreds of preacher boys and pastors, I have seen disaster, near disaster, numerous times because personalities, the flesh get involved, and the search for, the next pastor, sometimes it's a reaction to something they didn't like about this pastor. Sometimes terrible things happen. I went to preach between pastorates one time in view of a call to a church somewhere here on the East Coast. I won't say where it was. Good group of people who loved the Lord Jesus, but they had a year that they didn't have a pastor. So in that year, they decided to look around for something to do. They should have gone soul winning. Instead of doing that, they decided to rewrite the Constitution and bylaws, and they went to what is known as equal elder rule. equal elder rule is a heresy that is promoted, and some Baptists have adopted it, even though it makes them more like Presbyterians than it does Baptists. And they had adopted that. I didn't know. I was called in to preach in view of a call. I went to that church. I called my wife later on. I said, "Sweetie, this is not the place." You know, I have a song, "This Must Be the Place." Well, I should have changed it. "This is sure ain't the place." Because I got up to preach, and I preached on what the Bible teaches about the pastor being the shepherd, the pastor being the pulpiteer, the pastor being the teacher, the pastor being the president of the assembly, the pastor being the overseer of the ministries. All five of those designations refer to the same office. But these folks had it all diced and sliced. And they had the church being run by a committee of people who would meet together, and they alone could figure out what the Holy Spirit was saying. They had a committee on this, a committee on that, a committee on this, a committee on that. They had spent the year writing a volume instead of a simple set of bylaws. I preach what I just said to you, the Bible says. Afterwards, a very angry chief elder came up to me and said, "How dare you do that? You knew what you were doing." I said, "Well, I like to think I know what I'm doing." There's so much confusion that's spread when there is a vacuum of leadership. Lord willing, there'll never be a vacuum of leadership here. So you could talk about it in terms like heir apparent or something of that nature. We could call him anything. But here's what the ballot says. Here's what the measure says. You vote yes, no, or abstain, which is a non-vote, next Sunday morning following when we go offline. The motion is, listen, to approve Pastor Winninger hiring Tyler Candy as associate pastor. That is my job, according to the bylaws, to hire as associate pastor. It is up to the deacons to meet and to determine, you know, what the plan will be, how it'll be worked out according to the budget that you have adopted. Okay? So to approve Pastor Winninger hiring Tyler Candy as associate pastor of Central Baptist Church, with the church voting that the associate pastor will automatically become senior pastor, quote, in the event of senior pastor's A, death, B, disability, C, departure. Check one box. Yes, no, or abstain. Complete ballot, fold, turn it in. And everything will be done decently and in order. Now, to answer what you're thinking, I do not have a terminal illness that I know of, other than what everybody has. You know, it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. I'm not aware of anything that's physically wrong with me other than arthritis, which I inherited, you know, and a heart situation that got taken care of 21 years ago to the glory of God, and not one symptom since then. Praise the Lord. You can guess what my age is, but I have the physical vitality most of the time of a person half my age. I don't have any plans for dying right now, but I could step off the curb. You know? You understand what I'm saying? I don't know something that you don't know about that. Number two, I have no disability, no reason to think about that, and I do not have a departure plan. You say, "Well, certainly you've planned for retirement or whatever." I'm going to take my vacation in heaven. I'm going to take my retirement in heaven. Now, things could change with me or with Mrs. Winninger, dear sweet First Lady Gwendolyn. We don't know. But that's where we are today. This is designed because God's number of completion, 7 years we've been working with this man, and he's the one. He's the one God's hand is on. He's the next one. You say, "What if he decides to go elsewhere? What if I decide? What if you decide?" A whole lot of people do their own deciding, don't they? So that can't be the issue. You know what you do to keep a pastor? Let me tell you what you've done for 22 years to keep me. You've listened to me preach. You've amened me. You've supported me. You've loved me. Hopefully you're loving me back because we love you. That's what it takes to keep a pastor. That's it. It's not money. It's not size of the church. If that were the case, it wouldn't be like it is. So that's it. That's it, plain and simple. If you have questions, you can ask me after the service. Anytime you need to, call me up. My number's there. It's available. I'll be glad to talk to you. But there is nothing secretive, mysterious going on. The deacons are 100% in agreement with this action. They believe that man is the next man. And for now, he is the associate pastor, and he's operating as the associate pastor, but he's going to be officially designated as the associate pastor, kind of like the vice president, all right? The difference is presidential term is 4 years. Hopefully, a pastor's term goes 40 years or whatever. We'll see what happens, all right? So, how many of you have heard what I said? You understand what I said? You know God is at work? Give me a big amen. 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 I hope everybody's got it. That's it. And by the grace of God, without any further ado, we're going to go into our message. And so would you take your Bibles, please? And on the front of your bulletin, will you notice with me what it says with respect to thinking? It is Time Change Sunday. I hope you had no trouble with that. We have the poem in the bulletin, The Clock of Life. I love that poem. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just where the hands will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss as no man can restore. So live, love, and pray, and toil with the will. Place no faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. All right, so we're reminded of the brevity of life and the certainty of eternity. And each one of us needs to prepare. We need to think on these serious, serious things, as it says in our bulletin. All right, please notice with me in Philippians chapter 4 on the front of the bulletin. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to take time to think with God. I believe if we don't take time to intentionally and purposefully think with God, we are so constructed that the world, the flesh, and the devil will try to invade our thinking space and drive our thoughts into a venue where they ought not to go. We gave the scripture this morning in our bus meeting from 2 Corinthians and chapter number 10. And there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, it says in verse number 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There it is. We have to bring our thought life into the framework of God's perfect will for our life. We need to surrender our thought life as well as our emotional and our physical life may be surrendered. We need to surrender our thought life because it's in those private moments, depending upon how you're wired, what your temperament is, that your thoughts can be very positive or they can be very destructive. Your thoughts and mine need to belong to God just like our emotions and our bodies need to belong to God. My soul, my spirit, my body are His. I've been bought with a price. The price is the blood of Jesus Christ. When the scripture says think on these things, it means more than just an occasional passing thought. It means to reason or to reckon. Jesus said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. In order to have good thoughts within, We have to deliberately and purposely think on these things. Someone here today needs to give a little interest and consideration to this challenge. There might be somebody else today who is absolutely, completely, and entirely driven by thoughts that they can't control. And they're under that obsession. Look at me. They're under that obsession so much that they have no control. One man described to me having dinner with another man who had been off in sin, had backslidden, had left the church, wasn't coming here anymore. And this gentleman sat down with him and he was trying to reason with him. He was trying to help him to reckon. He was trying to help him to think on these things. But he'd get talking to him, and as soon as he would talk to him, that man to whom he was talking would look away, and he was looking lustfully at a woman passing by. Or he had no attention span for the things of God. He was absolutely disconnected from the spiritual realm and was totally in the flesh. I'm telling you right now, whether it's cause or whether it's effect, if your thought life is not submitted to the work of the Holy Spirit, to the control of God through His Word, then you are going to become a slave to your thoughts instead of the other way around. Amen, preacher. Amen. Our thought life may be called a battlefield. I believe that's an accurate description. That's where we make life's choices, whether right or wrong. That's where we determine the course of action we're going to take, whether it's a straight and narrow or broad way to destruction. Spiritual victory or spiritual defeat, those battles are won by the fact that our minds, that our thoughts, that our spirit, that our intent, that every part of us belongs to God and we submit to Him. There are people today who are slaves to their own depression. They don't like it. They're miserable, but they're slaves. They're used to it. There are people today who are slaves to whatever the latest talk or gossip, whatever comes up on the tube. Look at me, guys. Very important you get this. I believe the great challenge that's facing the generations coming behind us is electronic in nature. Where is your mind? Where is your heart? Are you disciplined? Or does the devil pull the strings like he does on a marionette? Are you controlled by the world and the flesh and the devil, though claiming to be a child of God? We can tell from a person's responses. We can tell from their choices. Who's sitting in the driver's seat? Who's in control? Dr. George Sweeting has said, when my gasoline tank registers empty, I know that it is actually full, but it's full of air. The automobile was not made to run on that air. To displace the air, I fill the tank up with gasoline. Your spiritual tank right now, your spiritual tank, is it half full? Is it full? Or are you running on air? I want you to think about this. It's important for us to get this. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed for us as He was about to go to the cross. He looked down the centuries of time. And He said, sanctify them with Thy truth. Thy word is truth. We need to, as believers, spend at least an equal amount of time in the Bible as we do in any other thing. This ought to be the place where our heart, our soul, and our spirit is fed, motivated, and directed. If today that is not the case, then your conviction, I trust, will be translated into a life-changing decision. And you'll say, from here on out, Lord, it's Your way. From here on out, Lord, it's Your will. From here on out, Lord, I don't want my way. Not my will, but Thine be done. Someone has said that thinking is talking. It's the talking of the soul with itself. Henry Ford classified thinking as the hardest work that he ever did. He did a lot of it. However, our decisions make all the difference, the results in our life. Who you're going to spend your life with outside of your soul's salvation, which is the most important decision. The second most important decision is who you're going to be partners with, who you're going to spend your life with. Then you have to determine where you're going to get your education and training and what you're going to do for the rest of your life, and may it be the will of God and not our will. Then you're going to have to determine where it is that you're going to live, and may it not be according to the dollar sign or what you can make in salary and benefits. May it be according to where you can serve the Lord through a good, local, independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. Before you call the moving company, you better make sure there's a place where you can go serve God. And if you are subject to some other force, such as the military or your company for which you work, and it's God's will for you to continue in that vein, and there's not a church there, and you get transferred to Timbuktu, you'd better start a Bible-believing, independent Baptist church. And you can. Don't be satisfied. Don't settle for less. Take the old paths. Stay on the old path. Amen, amen, amen. Stay on the old paths. Don't let anybody take that from you. Lord willing, next Sunday we're going to vote. It'll be by your votes. I'm only one vote. By your votes, we're going to do everything humanly possible to make sure that this church stays an old paths church. No, I'm not planning on dying. But I'm going to someday. And I don't know if you can see things from heaven or not. I've never preached that you can, because there's nothing in the scriptures that indicates that for a fact. But if this church continues on and it's not an old paths, independent, fundamental church, I'll do everything I can to come back and absolutely haunt you. Amen. Amen. We think with God. We think on these specific things. Take Philippians 4:8, and out of that, on a page from your notebook, in your journal, write down those things and think on those things. What are those things that I need to be thinking on instead of the junk that comes out of the world, instead of the gossip that comes out by the water cooler, on the phone, wherever it is? We don't think like God thinks. But we ought to. Listen to me. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, you read the whole chapter, you're going to find out how things are going to be when Jesus, King Jesus, comes to rule and reign on earth. And the last part of chapter 55 is about how wonderful the transformation is going to take place even during the millennium with King Jesus on the throne in Jerusalem. Praise God. Praise God. But the first part of it talks about this. It talks about His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Come on. We're not even in His league. We ought to think with God. Now you say, how can I think with God? Get into the Word. You begin to think and talk and be like God is. Now we're not perfect. We're not sinless. But we are spirit as He is spirit. And we can function as He guides and directs us, as the Holy Spirit controls us. Do you know the Bible speaks not only of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, but the fullness of God the Father and the fullness of Jesus Christ the Son. I want, before I leave this world, some things. You say, what's on your bucket list? I want the fullness of God in my life. I want the fullness of Jesus in my life. I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life and in my choices and decisions. How about you? Your family, your spouse, your employer won't recognize you for a while, but they'll get used to it. They'll get over it. Man, what a change in so-and-so's life. Praise God, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my life. We need to think with God. The choices and decisions that God makes are not things that He had to reason out. We do. We have to reason. We have to reckon. I have a friend who is a great gospel songwriter. I've known a few of them in my life. I just enjoy being around them. Tracy Dart, who's gone to heaven. God on the mountain. Tracy's gone to heaven. Aaron Wilburn. 4 days late. He's right on time. Remember that? Aaron Wilburn, gone to heaven. Another songwriter who is very near and dear to me wrote a song based on something he heard. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? He didn't have to figure things out. He already knows everything. Lord, reveal to me what I need to know because I don't have an infinite mind. I'm not omniscient. God's word, consistent with God's attributes. Learn who God is, really. Learn what He does, how He does it. That's the way we ought to function. It's not a matter of, well, we're gonna get our minds together. We're gonna sit around for a year, and we're gonna come up with a document, and we're gonna change the way things are run, the way things are done. Wrong, 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 and wrong, and still wrong. Technically, all we need is this book. But because we're human, we need some order. So we write down in the bylaws, we write down what we believe the Bible says, and we hold to that so that it's clearly encapsulated. And then we write down how things ought to be done. In our bylaws, this is going to blow your mind. I was subject to a pastoral search committee coming here. In our bylaws, there's not one word about a pastoral search committee. It says in the event of an emergency where there's a pastoral vacancy, that's considered an emergency. I think it can be. The deacons are responsible to see that the pulpit is filled with a man who fits the qualifications. And it goes on to say that. Of course, with the approval of the people. It does not have the city. It doesn't say have five of this and four of this and three of this on a committee and have them contact all the Bible colleges and fellowships around the world and have them send in their resumes. I know a church that got 176 resumes to look over. And they went through them. And some of them get shuffled right away because the guy doesn't believe the King James Bible or the guy doesn't believe in New Testament Baptist practice, which is called polity. But then let's say you get your 176, you get it narrowed down to about maybe 76. What do you do with 76 resumes? Man. And so that's man's idea. And sometimes you get the right pastor. But it's still rough sailing. Sometimes churches will decide to run their practice different from what the Bible says in its simplicity. And they're going to have problems. Every decision, every choice that's outside of the Word of God is going to have unintended consequences. Come back to bite them later on. I'm glad to be an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, Old Paths Baptist. Amen. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ or of who I am or what I'm all about. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows it all. He gives it to us. That's the way we ought to think. We ought to think the way God does because we have to figure, reckon, and reason. We've got the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Psalm 139 says, Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou knowest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path in my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. That's right. I'm not God. But I'm glad God knows me better than I know myself. He knows every thought I'm going to think before I ever even imagine it. That's it. He knows everything, great and small. He knows every detail. He knows He's numbered the hairs on our head. He knows the stars. He's named every star. He knows everything and about everywhere. Omniscient. It's a big world. But it's a word that describes our God. Because He knows it all. We should depend upon Him. We should be looking to Him. And I wrote a song by this title, by the way. And you'll hear it on from the Shepherd of the Sheep eventually. But it was Billy Sunday preached a great message. The message was entitled, think with God. Think with God about the Bible. Think with God about eternity. Think with God about heaven and hell and so forth. And that's it. We don't have to be creative. We just simply have to be obedient and turn our thoughts God's way and allow Him to have, because His ways are higher, because He is perfect, because He is absolute, He is perfect and complete in every respect. And we are just fickle when we're left to our own devices. But God has a specific will and a plan for you. And I know you've heard a lot of different ways, but let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah and chapter number 29. And on this, I know there are going to be some folks who are going to say, that's for me, preacher. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. So just put your heart at rest. When it comes to yielding totally to God, your spirit, soul, body, your mind, every part of you, He's got your best interests. Not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. So what's the first thing we got to do? We have to yield to Him. And then when we pray, we know He's on the listening end. He's going to respond. And ye shall seek me and find me. That means the will of God in our practical everyday living. When ye shall search for me with all your heart. There it is. Absolutely plain as plain can be. God, who is all powerful, who is omniscient, wants us to take time to think with Him. I haven't always done that. Let me confess to you what we all, I'm sure, would confess. Whenever I have trusted myself, my own thinking, my own process, apart from the Word of God, apart from God's divine direction, inevitably, I've regretted it later on. I've lost opportunities. I might even have lost souls to a devil's hell because I wasn't in God's perfect plan at that time. How about you? I don't want you to raise your hand right now, but I want you to think. If I were to ask you, are you 100% sure you're in God's perfect will this moment? Are you yielding your spirit, soul, body, your mind, everything to God, to His guidance and direction? Could you honestly say so? If not, now is the time. This is the place. We are the people. What's keeping us from getting on the same page with God? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. And how many of you today say, preacher, something in the Word spoke to my heart today. Slip your hand up high. Something spoke to my heart. Something spoke to my heart. All across this auditorium, hands raised. God bless you. That's good. How many of you would like to say this right now as a decision? I'm deciding right here and now. As often as I'm reminded of this truth today, I am going to submit 100% my body, soul, spirit, my mind to the Lord for His guidance and direction. Raise your hands up high. As often as I'm reminded of this, I'm going to yield myself, body, soul, spirit, mind, to the direction of the Holy Spirit, to the direction of Jesus, amen, through His Word. Thank you. I'm not going to ask how many of you are 100% the will of God. You know if you are or are not. But this invitation is open for you and me and every one of us to come, find a place to pray and go back to our seat. If you've never been saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to pray from your heart right now. If you've never been saved or not sure, pray this and mean it. Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I deserve to pay for my sins. I believe Jesus died to save me. And right now, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior. Please take away my sins and take me to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer and meant it, I want you to come and tell me. Shake my hand and say, I prayed that prayer. If you desire baptism or membership, you'd like to be a part of this church officially, why don't you come and let me know today that that's your desire. If you have some other decision or folks for whom you want to pray, I want you to come. Don't hesitate one bit. We want the will of God in our life. We want it for ourselves, our family, for our church as well. Won't you come as we stand to our feet and sing Just As I Am without one.
Tempted and We'll